Are you rejected from this year's med school cycle? Is the deafening silence from medical schools causing you to fear rejection? Are you starting to think about reapplication? Let's find out how today's guest reapplied successfully.
Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Accepted's founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Hello and welcome back. Thanks for joining me for this, the 408th episode of Admission Straight Talk. Before we meet our guest today, I want to invite you to Accepted's next webinar for med school applicants. Drumroll, please. It is Get Accepted to Medical School During an Application Surge, a live Q&A with three med school admissions experts. And it's your opportunity to ask three highly experienced med school experts your questions about applying during an application surge. Join Sydney Foote, Dr. Herman Gordon, and Dr. Barry Rothman tomorrow for this live free Q&A, where you can get answers to your most important med school questions. Reserve your seat at accepted.com/408webinar. Again, that's accepted.com/408webinar. Our guest today, Nicole Stevens, is happily anticipating the start of medical school. I'm going to let Nicole tell much more about her path to this point and plans for the future, but here's a little background. She earned her bachelor's in neuroscience from UT Austin in May 2019, and she is currently pursuing an MS in biomedical science from MD Anderson UT Health Graduate School of Biomedical Science in Houston. Nicole, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you for having me, Linda.
It's my pleasure. Now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you grew up?
Sure. So I grew up moving around the country with my brother and my parents. And both my parents served in the military. So every few years, we would pack up and move to a new location. So not only did this inspire my future career, but it taught me a lot and shaped me a lot as a person, teaching me things like integrity and discipline and showed me the diversity across the whole country. But we finally did settle in Central Texas, where we really fell in love with the area. So I decided to stay to do my undergrad in Austin at the University of Texas. And then I stayed in Texas for my graduate program here in Houston, and will be attending medical school here in Texas as well. So I'm not from Texas, but I'm now a Texan at heart.
Okay. All right. What were some of the places you lived elsewhere in the country?
I was born in Maryland, and we lived in Virginia near DC, and then Kansas. We lived in Texas when I was younger, and then Nebraska. So lots of places.
Lots of places. It sounds like it. Okay. How did you decide to pursue a career in medicine?
So I decided probably around when I was in middle school and early in high school from observing and learning about the injuries of returning soldiers. So being from military communities, many of the members would deploy overseas and then return with injuries like post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury. I saw somewhere in my community that I would be able to help. And so that's what inspired me to go into medicine.
So did you volunteer with some of the veterans, some of the soldiers that came back injured?
I was able to volunteer at the military hospital at Fort Hood, Texas, in the ICU there. And then my mom, she's an artist, and so she did some art with some veterans, and I was able to volunteer with her at that.
Okay. And how old were you about this point?
This was probably when I was 14 or 15. I wasn't able to do much as a volunteer being so young, but I was able to in the ICU, I was able to really observe a lot. And I think being in that environment at a young age, I was able to really see that that is what I want to pursue in the future.
Wonderful. And why did you decide to pursue the master's in biomedical science?
I knew that there would be some time between my time as an undergrad and medical school. And I wanted to do something that would challenge myself, but also show medical schools that I was dedicated to continuing my education and show them that I was able to continue to increase my GPA. That's why I decided to do a program. The reason I chose my particular program is because I had the opportunity to continue my research. So as an undergrad, I did a lot of bench work research and I worked with fruit flies. But now okay. as a graduate student, I'm now able to work more with patients in clinical research. So that was a really neat opportunity and led me to this particular program.
And what is the application of your research, either with fruit flies or human beings?
Yes. So with fruit flies, I studied their circadian rhythmicity in a few different mutant variants. So now I'm doing completely different research. I'm actually doing research at the dental school here, working with geriatric patients. Geriatrics is something I'm really interested in. So that's why I chose this particular lab. But we're studying, well, my thesis project is in studying the oral health changes over time in nursing home residents. The oral health and systemic health are connected, and poor oral health is a state of chronic inflammation in the oral cavity. And when there's inflammation somewhere in the body, there's a pro-inflammatory state everywhere else in the body, which affects diseases like diabetes and heart disease. And
interesting. I have a friend, going back to your fruit flies, I have a friend whose brother studied, and for years, the central nervous system of snails. I think that was his specialty.
Oh, wow.
PhD, and that was his thing. So you indicated you took the master's because you knew you were not going to go directly to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly the 2020-2021 medical application, was that your first one or was it a second one?
So this was a reapplication for me. I had previously applied the 2019 to 2020 cycle.
Did you get rejected that point around? Or
I think the reason I had to reapply, I don't know exactly the reason, but I can tell you what I've done to really strengthen my application and what I think led to my success this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did retake the MCAT and restudy for the MCAT and did a lot better, 11 points better.
Wow.
Yes.
Congratulations, first of all. You. That's a big difference. So
I think that really showed the schools that I was dedicated to strengthening that foundation in the sciences. And along with that, I did do well in my coursework in grad school. And so that was also showing them that I was dedicated to the academics of medicine. I increased my clinical experiences through shadowing, my clinical research, and volunteering in a hospital here pre-COVID. And then I think something that really helped me was I had better recommenders the second time around. So my first application cycle, I only had one recommender that knew me really well, my mentor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I had a physician that didn't know me super well, and then two professors that I did well in their class, but they didn't know me outside of the class. This application cycle, I had four recommenders who knew me very well, knew what I wanted to do in medicine, and could write a stronger letter for me. I think that probably helped a lot. And then also just learning how to write for the applications, I think made me a stronger applicant, writing more actively about what I did and what I learned, as opposed to maybe just telling a story about what I observed.
Okay. Let's go back to the recommenders. When you say you had better recommenders, what made them better?
The fact that I was able to spend more time with them to show them what I really was interested in medicine. Other than my previous recommenders, like I said, two were professors. I was in their class and I participated in their class and did well. But they didn't know me outside of just being another student in their class. Now, this time I had my MS advisor, who was a course director for a 7-hour credit course I took my first semester here. So she spent a lot of time with me. I have my new mentor here who I work with, you know, daily. And then I have a physician that I got to know better than the first physician I had. And she was really dedicated to helping medical students get into the medical programs they're interested in. So I think just them knowing me better and me getting to know them better as well.
Right. I always say that there are two requirements for recommenders. One, they have to know you well. And two, they have to be willing to write a strong letter of recommendation for you. And it sounds to me like that's what you had this time.
I agree. I think both of those were a big difference in my application.
And the better MCAT score. I don't want to minimize that at all.
Yes,
and I don't want to minimize that, the better grades and all that. Mm-hmm. And you indicated also that you changed your writing. How did you change your writing?
So in working with Accepted, I learned a lot about that, how to write for these applications, because I think I was already a strong writer in telling stories. But as a medical school candidate, you have to learn how to say, I did this in this experience and I showed integrity, or I learned about being a geriatric physician, things like that, and the qualities that it takes to be that. I think my previous application cycle, maybe I was writing more about what the doctors did that I observed as opposed to what I learned. And that's just an example of something that changed. But
that's a really good example. What was the hardest part of the application for you, either the first time or the second time? Did it change?
I think it's kind of just the whole process. The hardest thing is the time it takes and just realizing that it takes perseverance and that it's going to be a long process and to not get burnt out. Understanding that it is a marathon and not a sprint is challenging.
When you realized you were not going to start medical school in 2020, that cycle's over. Mm-hmm. I mean, were you already prepared to reapply or were you, I mean, I'm sure you were somewhat disappointed, but yeah. How did you kind of process that?
Yes, that's a really great question. I think I knew I was just ready to reapply. I knew I kind of, before the whole cycle was over, I hadn't heard back much. And so
did
I had
get started. Any interviews the first time around?
I got one interview and then I was waitlisted from that school. So I started studying for the MCAT again during the application cycle. I did have one friend who's in medical school here in Houston. He said, he was like, just wait and see, you know, don't rush it. But I think being the anxious pre-med that like many of us are, I just started studying again. And so I was prepared to reapply. I did have my school here that I could do the second year, which was helpful that I had something to do in that time to focus on. So I wasn't in too much of a rush. I did have my school to finish up here. So.
Right. Another thing that I frequently tell medical school applicants who haven't heard back from their schools or they don't have very many interviews is even in late fall, I'll say you need to pursue parallel tracks. You need to do everything you can to work on your current application. You also need to start preparing for a reapplication. Anything you do to start preparing for the reapplication could help you get accepted this time around if you send in update letters or get waitlisted or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it means that if you are not accepted, you're going to be ready to reapply or that much more ready. And frankly, it will be less disappointing because mm-hmm. you'll already have prepared for the eventuality.
Right. And that's really great advice, I think. And even if somebody is pursuing that parallel path, maybe they're volunteering in hospitals or shadowing physicians again, even if they were to get accepted later in the cycle, the first cycle, they're still going to get something out of those experiences. Of course. So yeah, I think it's definitely worth pursuing something on that parallel path on the side.
How did you approach this? Let's dive into some of the smaller elements in the application process. How did you approach the primary application and when did you submit it, both the first time and the second time you applied?
Sure. So I definitely both times applied really early in the process. So I applied in Texas and then the whole MCAS. United States, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. MCAS. And then both, they're different schedules, but both I did very early on. But I did approach them differently the second time compared to the first time. So the first time I approached it more about the quantity of applications rather than the quality of applications. My first cycle, I applied through AMCAS, TMDSAS, and as well as ACOMAS. Is that
how you say it? Yeah, sure. The DO programs.
Yes, I applied to many programs in all of those. And I didn't necessarily focus on the mission of the schools either. So, and that is a big, I realize that's something I've learned since is that.
That's more for the secondaries, isn't it though?
Right. But, and I still did do the secondaries for those schools, but I think just paying attention to the mission that, for example, I applied to like Virginia Tech. And I think that school really wants people who want to serve like the Appalachian Mountains, the rural areas there. Right. And that's not necessarily where I want to go in medicine. And I didn't pay attention to that. So when I reapplied, I decided to focus more on the quality of my applications. I was able to put more time just applying through TMDSAS and then AMCAS, but to fewer schools with AMCAS. And I think having more focus on a fewer number of schools compared to the really, really large number I applied to my first year gave me a better quality application.
And how many did you apply to the second time around?
The second time around, I applied to every school in the Texas under TMDSAS and then one school in AMCAS.
Oh, all right. That's much mm-hmm. less. Is it TMDSAS, I think, is eight, isn't it? Eight or nine, something like that?
I think, I can't remember the exact
number. It changes also.
I ended up finishing the secondaries for seven or eight schools, so for okay. TMDSAS.
And, obviously the second time around, you had fewer. So the question would be, how did you stay on top of the secondaries? But I assume just by reducing the number, it's easier to stay on top of them.
Right. It's less overwhelming when you reduce the number and you're again able to produce more quality essays for the secondaries. So I think what's really difficult about the secondaries is that you're already so far in the process and you're often very tired and you need time to decompress. So I took a few days to decompress and then I just decided to start knocking them out. But what I found I was able to do with the secondaries, both in my first year and my second year applying, was that I was able to recycle some answers. What I mean by that is all those schools aren't going to ask the same questions in the exact same manner. Often they sort of ask the same question. Like one school may ask about a failure and one school might ask about a time you learned a lesson, and you're able to take maybe the story from the first essay, tweak it to address what the other school wants, but it definitely cuts down on the time restarting on a blank page.
Right. You adapt, basically. You adapt the essays. I think the other point you made earlier in our conversation is that you kept in mind the mission of the individual schools as you were applying. And that would be the other cause of tweaking the secondaries, I assume.
Yes, ma'am. And exactly, making it more specific to each school. I think also when you pay attention to the mission of the school and you think it's a school that you would be a good fit at and that would be a good fit for you, it's a little easier to write for them because your experiences fit that school.
And your enthusiasm is genuine. You don't have to make it up.
Right, exactly. And somewhere you really think you'd fit in well. So it's exciting to write for those programs.
That's great. How many schools did you interview at the second time? And I said the first time it was one. How about the second time?
The second time I interviewed at two schools.
And how did you prepare for your interviews?
So I began my preparation for the interviews maybe 2 weeks before, maybe a little more time, but around 2 weeks. And I started by just looking up the most common med school interview questions and kind of what some example answers were and what is kind of expected of you when answering questions in medical school interviews. And then next, what I did was outline my experiences, some stories from those experiences and qualities that I showed in those experiences without writing out answers to questions, just kind of brainstorming what I've done. And then the main thing I do or did when preparing for interviews is I just start pretending like I am being interviewed and talk to myself or talk to my computer and just look up questions and pretend somebody's asked me that question and answer as I would in an interview. And I found that I became more comfortable talking about myself over time. I became more concise in my answers. I was able to come up with the stories that I wanted to tell easier. So it feels like silly, but that's what I found to really help me and be more natural in an interview setting.
Right. Another idea is to talk to a mirror.
Yes, I did that too.
Right.
Yes. Whenever I was like getting ready for bed or anything, sometimes I would just pretend I was answering a question. And
that's great. What are your plans for between now and the start of medical school?
So my plan is to graduate from my master's program.
Yay. Congratulations in advance.
Thank you. I need to finish my thesis and then defend my thesis. And then I'm hoping to have some time in between to relax. But that's my main goal before med school.
That sounds good. You're in Houston now. You'll be attending medical school in Houston also?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
All right, great. Yeah. How do you see your career developing? And do you have any direction within medicine?
So as I said earlier, I'm really interested in geriatrics, but I'm going into medical school with an open mind because I've heard so many people say that they go in thinking they want to do one thing and then they come out doing something they never expected that they would do. And I've kind of experienced that. I didn't know I would be interested in geriatrics until I shadowed a geriatric physician and I really enjoyed it. So I'm kind of going into medical school with that same mindset to shadow different physicians, go on the different rotations with an open mind.
Sounds good. What do you wish I would have asked you?
I don't know that there's anything I wish you would ask, but I think there's something that I could that add to the part about my rejection and why I think I was rejected.
Sure.
The first time around. In college, I didn't start college with a great GPA. I was kind of shocked by the coursework and I didn't know how to study. And I was able to steadily increase my GPA. And I think that maybe showing the programs in my reapplication that I was able to perform well in grad school at that higher academic level really made a difference that I wasn't able to show them the first time around. But just that although grades are very important, I think that you're able to get past bad grades if you show that you're able show the schools that you can perform in your harder coursework later
did
on.
You, how did you improve your, was it just a matter over time you figured out how to study, or did you go to some centers on campus to help you, talk to professors? What did you do?
So freshman year was really difficult for me. And I'll just be honest, because maybe this will help somebody. I received 3 C's my freshman year of college in my science courses. And I think my sophomore year, I kind of said to myself, okay, we got to figure out how we're going to learn to study for these classes. I don't remember how I just tried different ways of studying, put more time in. Like that was something that I knew I needed to do. And it wasn't just immediately like poor GPA 4.0. It was a slow, steady increase because I did have to learn and I did have to gain that foundation I was missing from my freshman year. But I think just showing schools that you're able to slowly, steadily increase your GPA it says something about Canada.
Oh, absolutely. It shows commitment. It shows resilience. It shows the ability to improve and learn. I'm not saying you have to start slow, start with a low GPA.
Yes, exactly.
You don't do that intentionally. I'm not recommending it. But if you can get the A's right off the bat, go for it.
Right.
But no, if you can overcome a low GPA and get yourself back on track, it shows all kinds of really good things, grit, determination, not to mention the ability that you know how to, you figured out how to study and you can really do the work. And no, I'm really glad you added that. So thank you.
Yeah, I think it can help somebody. We don't often talk about like low grades as pre-meds, but if I could help somebody know that it is possible.
No, I think that I want to thank you for sharing that. I didn't want to ask because I didn't know if it was okay, but I think it does help. There are people out there who struggled for a variety of reasons as undergrads, and sometimes it's not just the first freshman year. It might have been longer. It might have been later in their undergrad career for whatever reason. And it is possible to change. It is possible to improve. So
and it says that the programs, although I'm sure they enjoy seeing good grades all the way around, they're not going to just focus on a few bad grades, and they can look at you in the holistic view.
Absolutely. And they want to admit great people who are going to be great physicians. So if you are going to be a great physician and you can show them that you can do the work but with good grades, and not to mention a nice high MCAT score, then you know, you're going to have serious consideration and probably acceptances because they do want to do that. Mm-hmm. Just one other question. When you've got the first acceptance, okay, I don't even know how many you got, but when you did you get more than one or just one second time?
I've had two offers, yes.
Oh, great, great. So now you have multiple acceptances that you can choose from. Mm-hmm. How did it feel when you got that first one?
I think it was a little sigh of relief because of all the hard work that we do as pre-meds and how long the process really is. I don't want to say it was unbelievable because I do think I put in hard work, but I think it takes a moment to soak in that you will be a physician once you get that offer of admission. So
that's right. All right. Any last bits of wisdom or advice for pre-meds, both the first timer and the reapplicant?
I think this could apply for both. I think we can get stuck as pre-meds looking to the future too much and always thinking we're going to be happier at the next step. Like we'll be happier when we finally finish MCAT, or we'll be happier when we finally get into med school, or, you know, when we're finally physicians, we're going to be the happiest we'll ever be. But I think like finding peace in the present moment and knowing that you're just, you know, you're on the journey already to being a physician, and to find happiness in this moment, put hard work in to reach your goals, but enjoy the process because it's very long and you're already on the journey. So that's
right. And like you said, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes, exactly.
Nicole, I think we're just about out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining me and sharing your experience and perspective. It's wonderful to talk to you. We're going to link from the show notes at accepted.com/408 to a variety of resources that will be relevant to medical school applicants, as well as to the Q&A sign-up page. So listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 408th episode. If you find this show worthwhile, please make sure you don't miss any others. Subscribe through your favorite podcatcher. We have subscribe links in the show notes at accepted.com/408. Oh yes, and quick reminder about that Q&A I just mentioned. We're having it tomorrow. It's called Get Accepted to Medical School During an Application Surge, a live Q&A with 3 med school experts. And you can sign up at accepted.com/408webinar. Reserve your seat. It's free. I also want to invite you to participate in the Thank You for Your Review contest. One listener a month who leaves a podcast review on Apple Podcasts, also known as iTunes, will win a free 20-minute consultation with me. You can leave your review at lovethepodcast.com/AST. Again, that's lovethepodcast.com/AST, as in Admissions Straight Talk. I look forward to hearing from you and speaking with you. This is Admissions Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.